If you would, and turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And I want to do something on the parable of the sower, which is hopefully very familiar to people. And I'm going to try and put forth something. May not get to it today, but there's some things that seem to have been not emphasized in other messages I've heard about the sower. Because it is found in Matthew 13, it is found in Mark 4, and it is also found in Luke 8. Now I'm going to read Luke 8, mainly because I want to. I like a couple of things the way it's put here that are related, but then there's a couple of other things, one in Matthew and one in Mark particular, that I'm going to go back to. Just a couple of phrases that are used there that are not used here. It's not that it's a different story. It's just some people write things differently as the Spirit of God led them to. And that's actually fairly human. What some person picks up, another person will miss. Mm-hmm. Even by the Holy Spirit. Because until He reveals a certain thing to you, you will not see it. But anyhow, Luke chapter 8, verse 4 is where I want to start. I'm just going to read the whole thing. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's the explanation. I don't really need to explain the explanation because the explanation is there. But I am going to explain some things, I hope. And I want to proclaim a few things because there's a great truth here. And it actually one of the strangest things about this that struck me is here in Luke chapter 8 in my Bible, I have at the top, I have little headings about what this page is about, you know. On the page before, there's one that says, women minister under Christ. Well, on this page, it says, the parable of the sower. That's what it says. Well, it's not called the parable of the sower here. It is called that by Christ, and I believe it's in Matthew, where he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. That's what he calls it. But when you read this in Luke here, you don't really hear any explanation of the sower. There's no explanation given. He says here, what is it? Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's what it says here. Now, this is one of the reasons why I want to back up just a little bit to Matthew 13, where it does say what the sower is. And this is the only explanation that you will get in all three of these, I don't know, versions of the parable that are written down. This is the only statement you have about the sower. In Matthew 13 and verse 3, it says, this is the beginning of it, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, that's what it says. Now the explanation says, well, let me get to the right place. Verse 14, no, that's not it, that's the wrong one. 18, excuse me. Matthew 13, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. That's all it says. These people knew what a sower was. Yeah. Now, this is not the parable of the pastor. This is not the parable of the Sunday school superintendent. This is not the parable of the soul winner. This is the parable of the sower. Right. Now, in Luke, we have it. The seed is the word of God. Yeah. That is what the sower is to sow. Right. And that's it. This is the job of the sower. There is no other job for the sower. Right. There are other things about pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets, but that's not what this is concerned with. Right. This is concerned with the sowing of the seed. Right. And nothing else. And that's the job of the sower. And it doesn't matter who is sowing.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
It doesn't matter. See, I've heard this sermon preached by a lot of people, and there are a couple who've got it right dead on. But most of them go, well, this is the preacher preaching. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Sure.
This is part of it. I am trying to sow right here, right now, as I stand before you. But you, all of you, can be sowers.
Right. Yeah.
That's the job.
Right.
It's not a title. It's the job.
Right. Amen.
To sow the seed. Mm-hmm. Everyone who believes Christ is to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth in you.
Amen.
To anyone.
Yeah.
A sower doesn't just go out downtown and throw seed around. A sower goes to the field he is assigned, or in some cases, it's the field he owns. Some farmers sow their own seed. Other farmers have people who sow for them. That's the job of the sower, to sow seed in the field. Whenever anyone asks, we are to give an answer. And that is sowing. And it doesn't matter whether I do it or you do it or anybody else does it. As long as, what? The seed is the word of God.
Yeah.
because the sower is to sow only good seed. And the only answer I have for the hope that lieth within me is Jesus Christ. His truth. And that's what this word is. Where it says the seed is the word of God, that's the Greek word logos. The truth.
Yeah.
It's not rhema. There's a lot of people who have preached from this passage and from other parts of it, Matthew and from Mark, where they talk like the seed is the spoken word. Well, it is spoken because that's all we got. But it's not the fact of me speaking it has anything to do with anything. The seed is the word of God. It's the truth of God. It's not a lie. It's not free will. It's the word of God. It's not God's done all he can do, now it's up to you. It's not anything other than the truth of God as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. That he is Lord. He is God. He has by himself purged our sins. And they're gone. They were gone 2,000 years ago. They were purged once. Once. The seed is the word of God about his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not error and it's not heresy. And the hope that lieth in me is that he did purge my sins 2,000 years ago. He has revealed that to me now and is continuing to reveal that to me now. The sower soweth the word. The seed is the word of God. And then Christ starts talking about the ground. And you got four types. Now, I'm not going to go into this in any detail, as much as it has been gone in by other people, I believe, and it's actually been explained by Christ. The wayside is a pathway. It wasn't meant, I like what Henry Mahan said about it, it wasn't ever meant to be a cornfield. But the sower sowing in the field, but there's a pathway there. And the seed's going to hit it, and the seed's going to be taken away before it can be relevant, before it can be realized. And I'm going to tell you something, I was there once. I remember that. There were people, now, as far as how much of the truth they knew, I have no idea, but there were people in my youth that tried to speak to me about Jesus, and it just went like, this right over my head, you know, whizzed right past my ears. It didn't even go in one and out the other. It went right by the ear because I wasn't listening. I had no interest at that time. They were ready to give an answer. Mason, I wasn't asking any questions. I didn't want to know. I just happened to be there at the wrong place at the wrong time, as far as I was concerned. And I got away from them as quick as I could. But the wayside is where it goes. Then you have the stony ground, the rocky ground. Now the sower just sows the seed. The rocks are there. The stony ground is there. And it does say they receive with joy, but it also says here in Luke, and this is one reason why I use this, is that it says they have no root. They have no foundation. Another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ the Lord. And if you build a house that's not on a foundation but on sandy soil, guess what happens? The storm comes and it goes down. But if you're built on the foundation, the stone stands, but so does the house. It's there. Then those which are thorny ground hear and go forth, but are choked, strangled completely. The word, Greek word there used, to drown. To drown. And I like what this says, because this is a good thing here. What a lot of people don't understand. They are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They're not choked with bad things. These people aren't choked with the beer joints and the nightclubs and the bad things of this world that are just evils of alcohol. No, these people are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Good things, nice things, as people see them. But they will choke and drown you. Because what that word means, choked, is strangled. And in one of the other ones it says, they are unfruitful. Here it says, I've lost it. Excuse me. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. That's all it says. Choked it. They strangle it to death. They have no fruit. And here's the telling thing. They're not good ground. Because of the four types that you have here, what you have here is three that are not and one that is good ground. And whenever you go forth and whenever you sow, this is what you're supposed to know. There's only one good ground. Good ground, and the word is kalos. Proper usage of the Greek word means beautiful. Beautiful soil. Other synonyms are excellent, eminent, precious, or magnificent. And the other reason why I like using Luke here is this statement. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep and bring forth fruit with patience. The good ground has an honest and a good heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. And the heart is deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. What happened? This parable doesn't say. This parable doesn't tell you how this ground got to be good ground. It doesn't tell you where this good ground came from. This parable just tells you that there is some good ground somewhere. And guess what? The sower had nothing to do with that ground being good. The seed, the word of God, had nothing to do with that ground being good. It fell on all four kinds of ground. Neither the sower nor the seed change the ground's aspect. There's an effect. He tells us the effect. But it doesn't change the ground. And see, this is the part that most of the people who preach about the sower don't tell you. The seed doesn't change the ground. The sower doesn't change the ground. The ground is the ground. And there's four kinds. When you're giving an answer for the hope that lieth in you, you don't know what's there. And what you say is not going to change what's there. And this is to relieve a burden from you. That some preachers want to lay on you. And I won't have it.
Right. Amen.
I got enough burdens of my own as it is. I don't need any more.
Right.
But I know this fact to be true. When the seed, the word of God, falls on good ground, it's going to spring up and it's going to be fruitful.
Amen.
And if it doesn't, it won't. All I have to do is to do my best to say the truth of God and lie not.
Yeah.
And that's hard enough as it is.
Yes, that's hard enough. Yeah.
That is, without God, it's beyond my ability. Without His grace. But that's what I saw when I was looking at this, and that's what hit me. That's, the sower is the same in all three sections of this. The seed is the same. The only difference, there's four different grounds. And the sower doesn't have anything to do with changing the ground. The seed doesn't have anything to do with changing the ground because the ground is there in this parable. The wayside is the wayside. The stony ground is the stony ground. Thorny ground is the thorny ground. And the good ground is already good. Or the seed wouldn't do any good there.
Right.
It'd be just like something else. There is a statement, and I want to turn back to it just real quick. It's in Mark chapter 4, which is another one of the versions here. And this is what I want to leave you with. Mark chapter 4. Again, verse 11 says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." And I don't care what any commentary tells you, because they all pretty much say the same thing. Thing. He spoke in parables so that everything would just be nice and clear and all that. No, he said he spoke in parables so they wouldn't understand.
Right. Yep.
And if you got a problem with that, you don't understand this parable. Because that seed's going where it's going. And that ground is what that ground is. The seed doesn't make it any better. The sower doesn't make it any better. Anyhow, look. Verse 13, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Now I look this up, Walter. The only explanation I read, for the most part, from commentators, is, well, if you don't get this simple parable, how are you going to get the hard ones? No. If you don't get this parable, you don't understand the truth of God.
Right.
Right.
If you don't get this parable, you don't know anything about the state of man as he is born. If you don't get this parable, you don't know what your job is as a sower. You don't know where you're sowing or what you're sowing. This is a basis. And in any parable after this you want to take, whenever anything is referred to preaching or proclaiming or anything of that kind, that's sowing. And you're going to be sowing to this four types of ground. And that is never going to change until he comes again. This is the way the world actually is. This is the way people actually are. Because I can tell you this, because I've read the rest of the book, that good and honest heart didn't come from that person. It didn't come to that ground naturally. Well, I talked about it a few weeks ago. Actually, I guess over a month ago now. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. You know what that meant? They weren't good ground. Now, one of them came good ground later, Saul of Tarsus, in that example. But Stephen knew about the parable of the sower. At least he knew the truth of it. The ground is the ground. Stephen's words didn't make any ground good. My words will never make any ground good, and your words will not make any ground good. But speak the words. Speak the word of truth. And lie not, and let the seed fall where it may. Now I do, with that where it says we are ready to be ready to give every man an answer. If you prefer to, and I prefer to anymore, I'll wait till somebody actually asks me a question that they want an answer to. I'm not casting my pearls before swine, if I can avoid it. I don't like getting rended. It has happened before, and I don't really cherish that. But by his grace, I am ready to give an answer about my Lord Jesus Christ. And that seed will fall where it will fall, on whatever ground it will fall. And it's not up to me to make any ground good. And it's not up to you to make any ground good. He that planteth is nothing. He that watereth is nothing. But God giveth the increase.
Amen. Amen.
That sounds like that's built right on top of the parable of the sower. Yeah, it is. It doesn't go anywhere. Anything else that comes up, you can put it on top of that. More of a revelation, more of something, but this is true. And if you don't understand this parable, you ain't gonna understand any of the other ones.
Yeah.
A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And if you're starting from a false foundation, a false base, you're gonna build falsehood on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You may go up a little bit, but you're gonna start to go off. And I'm going to tell you something, it's easier for that house to fall down if it's not balanced. If it's not built on the foundation, if it's not built with the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for you, Lord. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did give himself, who became sin for us, and purged our sins in his own body, shed his precious blood, and saved, redeemed, and is converting his people. In his name, we are thankful and blessed. Amen.